Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Michael Bolton promises Matt a retake on his duet.
We celebrate World Radio Day.
The very funny Nick Cody drops by.
And the government is turning up the pressure on sideline parents.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5. RAC know that maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA.
Michael Bolton. It's a preppy
one. Come here, Kimber.
The eve of Valentine's, we're going to catch up with Michael Bolton, who's proven in recent years, he sold 75 million records, but he's got a sense of humour too. Self-deprecating superstar, multi-Grammy winner with a new album called A Symphony of Hits. Michael Bolton, welcome.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, no worries, man. We thought we'd catch up and talk about this 50-year anniversary for you. And of course, there's so much love for you in Perth, Western Australia.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. Thank you. It's amazing how much time has passed. It's impossible. But I was signed 50 years ago to Epic Records, and I thought something incredible was going to happen, and then 18 years later I had my first hit.
Wow. Well, Michael, it was I think last April when we spoke to you, and you revealed to us exclusively that there was a fragrance coming, and now we've learned that it's a three-piece collection, Time, Love and Tenderness, and they're described as soulful and romantic. Are these unisex fragrances we can start bathing in?
Not yet. Oh, it was kind of surreal that it was happening, but now I have a box next to me and it's really happening. It has my name on it, it's for women, and it's Time, Love and Tenderness.
Michael, we're so proud as punch that you came here to Perth to record. Why did you choose Western Australia?
Because my arranger, one of the best arrangers in the world, told me that he had basically five orchestras in the world that he would trust and would be great for this project.
Mm.
And he was absolutely keen on coming to Perth. And I don't think he would have taken any chances with a so-so orchestra. He was very confident about the high quality in Perth. And the orchestra was phenomenal. I'm glad we made that decision.
Hey, Michael, I just want to know, mate, so many Grammys, the American Music Awards, the BMI Award and so many more, and even the Junos, the Canadians celebrating your career. Are you a trophy kind of person? Do you have them on display or are they sort of tucked away somewhere at home?
They're kind of tucked away. You know, it's funny you should ask that because I have friends that have, as soon as you walk into the front door, you see plaques and the awards and everything's kind of in your face.
Mm.
And I went in a different direction. I don't know whether that's foolish of me or not, but they're in a case in the entertainment room, which basically my daughters took over years ago.
Yeah.
But I think also I learned by just watching careers that people have won Grammys and then completely disappeared from the face of the earth. And so I learned the awards are not what bring people to your concerts or bring people like yourselves to interview me and spend time with me. It's just the right songs moving forward, the right arrangements, and continuing to come back. I'm not wearing out your welcome. I happen to love Australia, so no one ever has to twist my arm to come over. We just need to schedule it.
Michael, I wanted to say to you that, you know, I am quite conflicted talking to you today because we love you so much, but when we spoke to you in April, you told us that you were coming to Perth to record, and I asked you if you would do a duet with me for my Hits From Your Hood Suburbs. Here's some audio from April.
I'd love to make that happen. I will have some time, so I can either come to you or maybe you can come to the studio.
Oh.
We'll do it duet a cappella.
Man, that'd be brilliant.
That would be wonderful.
We will see you there.
So I'm devastated. We didn't make it happen.
You know what? I think let's blame our managers or our agents for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You sack yours and I'll sack mine.
That's me for sure.
Yeah, your people advised against it. I understand that. I understand that.
Sounded like I had made a commitment.
Yes, it did. It really did sound like a commitment.
It's okay. He only wept for a couple of days.
Yeah.
He's okay now. Tate, thanks for your time, Michael. Always great to catch up and have a chat, mate. Take care.
I owe you a duet.
Yeah. I look forward to it,
don't
man.
Make the commitment. Yeah. Look out.
We've got that on tape.
Careful, we've seen tears. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
Michael Bolton, geez, you really told him off, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, but he's made now he's made another commitment.
Another commitment.
I've got to spin the wheel on Friday for the next suburb.
It's like double
too,
or nothing,
so,
isn't
yeah,
it, right here?
Yeah.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
It's a very important day. It's World Radio Day.
Hey.
Is it? And we're on the radio, so why don't we talk about it?
Yeah, okay. Let's celebrate.
World Radio Day is an observance day held annually on February 13. It kicked off in November of 2011 to celebrate radio as a medium. As
okay.
Such. So we thought we'd have a bit of a chat about radio and talk about Perth Radio and bring back a few memories.
Brilliant.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's been some great radio people and radio shows in this town and, you know, whether it's AM or FM, and I only go back as far in radio as 83, so I can't talk about people who are on the air in the 60s and 70s necessarily.
Oh, only 83?
Yeah, but, I was listening to a few people. Yeah. But, you know, if you think about the high rating talents that have gone to air on the Perth airwaves,
yes.
I mean, there weren't many bigger than John K. Watts, the former footballer,
no.
East Perth and Geelong, and his mate Barry Martin. Bazza and JK's ratings were phenomenal in the 70s in Perth. A long, long time ago now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then my nana listened to two blokes with very big voices, John Fryer and Peter Dean on 6IX.
Oh, Peter Dean, I remember.
The late
yes,
Peter Dean.
Yes.
Yeah, just amazing talents. But the audiences were huge. And they do talk back and, you know, sort of old school humour and that kind of stuff as
yeah,
well.
Yep.
Yeah. And these blokes never forgotten. Then you move on to the 70s and late 70s and the 80s and you think of the legends of Perth radio and there weren't any, there was no one bigger in 1984. Then this bloke, this is him from 84, Lionel York or Yorkie.
Yorkie!
As a matter of interest, Margaret, is it a difficult life married to a politician?
Not to Andrew.
No?
He's a dream.
Well, you've got your business as well too, haven't you, Margaret?
Yes, I have. It'll take a bit of a backseat for the next 6 weeks, but that's fine.
Oh, that's good, love. Well, thanks for being on the show, Mark.
Thank you, Lionel.
He was a big star, Yorkie, in Perth.
Yeah.
You know, he used to sing his little song at the start of the show.
It's good to see you.
It's funny when you hear that stuff. And he's the first of the radio people I know. We know almost every second person we work with in radio becomes a marriage celebrant. Yorkie was the first of the lot.
And he's out there marrying everybody.
Hey, yeah. Yorkie.
Yorkie. Okay, now, let's go. We move now to the sort of 70s, 80s. We could throw in names like Burjo, who we've been bumping into. John Burgess.
Absolutely.
And I used to get ready for school when I was 15.
Same.
Listen to Burjo in the morning. And he's always cheeky, Burjo. He's the same now, you know, in the early 80s. And then you go to the early 90s, and this bloke had been on radio for a long time, but Gary Shannon and the PMFM morning crew, this was a Perth icon, let's be honest.
That was probably like my first kind of introduction to radio where you knew their names and they were in your home and, totally.
Yeah, so you can't miss the names. You know, Paul Redman and Mandy Walsh in the first lineup, then Bernie Britton joined and the great Jane Barwick, you know, all these names as the different incarnations in the morning crew. This was Gary on 6pm before that kicked off.
Gary Shannon here, Bruce.
Oh, right.
Yeah, from Better Music 6pm.
And they did all this.
Well, your good friend... Joe Walther, you know Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he wrote me a letter and told me that you were going to Sydney. Good luck going to Sydney with the new job, Bruce.
Right.
And we thought we'd ring up and try and rent your house.
It's funny hearing the voices again, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Gary's doing really well in business these days, which is great, and still got that sense of humour.
Yeah.
You think about when 6pm started slightly to wane and the FM band took over.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the early days of 96. You know, they were a station that got Gary Roberts put together all of these big, beautiful, deep voices, and these blokes were pretty cool. So if I throw names, we spoke to Freddie Boddicker recently.
Yes.
The late Bill Ally, who was one of my favourites doing Drive Time. He was very cool. Bob Stewart did Breakfast. And listen to this guy. This is the FM Whisperer who did late nights on 96 in the old days. His name's Phil Lear.
Great band, Cold Chisel, live there as part of tonight's midnight mini concert. You've got nothing I want, no sense. Hold me tight, tomorrow and forever now. In stereo, Saturday morning now with Phil Lear.
You know, just cool. You know,
yes.
that was the style at the time.
Absolutely.
You know? And of course, you could throw in other names like Brian Lehman, who's been around for a long, long time. Great bloke as well. And Gordon O'Byrne worked at pretty much every station.
We got a Christmas wish here, Richard.
Hey, what's the wish? This is anything in the world they've just wished this? Okay, what's he gone for?
This is out of the West Australian. Gary Patricevich of Inaloo has gone for...
Yes, wait for it.
A Panasonic television with a remote control.
Oh, Gary, hey, big. Like $10 million wasn't good enough for you or something? A TV, that's all he went for in the world?
Well, with a remote control.
Oh, that makes a difference.
With a remote control.
So that's smooth talking Gordo Byrne on the radio in Perth with Richard Stubbs.
Was that Stubbsy?
That was Stubbsy,
was it?
Yeah, he's a great talent himself. So it's just good to hear some of those voices again.
Yeah, and also too how things are changing as well. Like we were talking yesterday about radio and going, well, where were the women too? Because I think back in the day, you know, women were more the laugh tracks. Mm. You know, they weren't as getting as many gigs in radio as they do these days. Mm. You know,
I think in that whole list I mentioned Mandy Walsh and Jane Marwick. I mean, you could add Sue Moses was on 96.
Very wonderful Lisa Shaw.
Yeah, Lisa Shaw.
Smart, funny, great women who have also contributed, but I guess, you know, just didn't have as many roles in radio as we do now.
Yeah. And of course, the introduction to the morning crew to Perth, which was very much an American kind of thing to bring a team together. I mean, here we are all these years later, we're a team of three.
Yes,
you know what I mean? So
yes.
That got women involved, but having more power as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good. So, well, Radio Day.
That was great, man.
We don't say happy birthday, we just say, reminisce a little bit, eh?
Thanks for letting us go into your archives there, Claes.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Nick Cody is doing a show with Luke Heggie. Future Classics tonight until Sunday. Get your tickets through fringeworld.com.au. Fresh from doing some radio stuff on our sister station in Brisbane and lots of Anastasia Palaszczuk jokes. Got to pick on the Premier. G'day, Nick. How are you, mate?
Good. I'm fired up on coffees now, but I work on the sister station Triple M in Brisbane and... The time difference means I was in here at 2:30 this morning.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
A man had to meet me out the front. It looked very sus. Me standing outside with a backpack at 2:30 in the morning waiting for another bloke. What are they up to? I'm surprised the cops didn't get a call.
I hate to say it, but can you lift your energy?
Yeah. Well, you may have saw then. I went to adjust my headphones and I've had probably 12 coffees, I want to say, and just accidentally turned it up. My ears are bleeding.
Just too much. Well, Nick, I saw your personal bio on your website reads, stand-up comedian, actor, beer ambassador, idiot.
Yes.
In that order?
Yeah. We'll put idiot at the front. But if you're trying to get people to come along and see stand-up, you should open with stand-up. But I was a beer ambassador for Carlton Dry for a year, which was a dream come true. I grew up in like the Mandra of Melbourne, all right? Everyone knows the vibe. So I love Mandra. I've got Rallo's down there now and in Secret Harbour. And what I love is when I got this beer ambassador thing, I've been on like Conan O'Brien in the US and Just for Laughs in Montreal.
Sweet.
And I get some very nice messages. As soon as I got the beer ambassadorship, mates coming out of the woodwork.
I bet.
Cody, can you get slaps for us?
Yes.
Come on.
Got a plus one.
No one cared you were on Conan. Not the beer.
Yeah, a few congrats, but when you get the beer thumbs up, that's your mates are coming out for that.
Oh, and I'm glad you brought up Conan because, you know, since we go back a little ways and it's been ages.
I think
ages
we gigged together here, I reckon, 2011.
Yeah, it would
be. We did a gig here, yeah.
And, you know, since I last saw you, things have gone fantastically well and richly deserved. You're a brilliant comedian. But, you know, you mentioned Conan, you've done Edinburgh, you've got a child since I last saw you.
Yeah, little boy, Charlie, 4-month-old baby at home, which is... pretty hard.
Content.
Yes. It's a lot of content.
Yeah, it's a show.
And it prepped me. I don't think if I went from stand-up straight into Brekkie Radio, I think I'd be dead. But I had a 3-month-old son when I started Brekkie Radio. So I was like, I was probably going to be up at 2:30 anyway.
It's a walk in the park for you now.
It's a good chance to get out of the house while it's all kicking off in the morning. Yeah.
Well, Matty mentioned going on Conan, mate. I was lucky enough on my honeymoon to go to New York and we got tickets to go and see Jimmy Fallon practice his monologue.
Oh,
and
really?
You've seen 25 nervous comedy writers in the corner, petrified their joke's not going to get read or not go down well with the test audience.
But
what is it like going into the Conan experience?
Mm. Oh, it was insane. I was in Sydney doing gigs the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, flew to LA Sunday. You land there on Sunday and then Tuesday afternoon I was on Conan. Yeah. And it's just insane to walk out. Like if you see it on YouTube, I walk out and I gave him a thumbs up. He's about 20 feet away and he stood up and gave me like a little bow.
Yeah.
And so the clip starts with me going like, whoa, Conan just bowed at me. This is insane. I just wanted to stare at him.
Is it a fancy green room with champagne? What's going on?
It was a beautiful green room and very nice. No champagne, but there was an NFL player named Marshawn Lynch who used to play for the Oakland Raiders and Seattle Seahawks. He was there and he had a huge posse with him, like 10 of the biggest dudes I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And there was a pyramid of cupcakes, right? And I expected his friends to be like looking for beer. One of them was rolling a joint. It was out of control out the back. And then one of his friends is like, man, that's a cupcake pyramid. Like, he was so pumped. It was like a childish 6'5", 150 kilo dude. Yeah. It was just great. So, yeah, PlayStation and cupcakes.
Beautiful.
And you've performed for the Defence Force too, so that must be, they're surely ready for a laugh. They've got to be a good crowd.
Well, it is nice to go to Afghanistan and do gigs for the troops. I'd always wanted to go there, but no Kentucky, so I had to wait until the government sent me along. And the good news is that if there's only two gigs a year, the people there are very excited to see it.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. You know what I mean? You're not up against a big gig guide.
Yeah.
It's just you and then nothing for 6 months. So they tend to enjoy
it. Not a lot to laugh about in between.
No.
You're not following Ross Noble.
No.
And, mate, you're here, of course, to be on stage with the wonderful Luke Heggie, who we rate very highly. And the show's called Future Classics.
Yep. So we do 25 minutes each of our new tour. We'll come back during Perth Comedy Festival with our full hour shows. So we do 20, 25 minutes each. Then at the end, we get on stage together and we swap notes. So we've got notes of stuff that have been hidden in our phones and comedians' notes in their phone. Yeah, it's a varied range of terrible thoughts.
Obscure observations.
Yeah, you've got to read out his. He'll read out mine, right? And we have to discuss why we've written that in front of an audience.
I'm guessing it's not a G rating.
No, definitely not.
These thoughts haven't been well thought out.
No.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, when it comes to junior sport, some people, I mean, you know, we've all been there at some stage, standing on the sidelines, and some people just are really out of order. And we've seen some really ugly cases over the years of particularly parents getting overly passionate about their young people playing. You know, there were some celebrities, like AFL star Glenn Archer, former star from the North Melbourne Footy Club. He got into a bit of trouble. He had his conviction overturned, but he punched a runner, apparently, during a game in 2017 at his son's game of footy.
Yeah.
So that's a high-profile case, but it happens a lot. It happens almost every weekend.
I can remember at junior soccer, playing for Cracovia, it used to be in Inglewood.
Yep.
And I can remember, it's seared into my memory, of someone, a parent, yelling, "Kill him! Kill him!" Yeah. And I would have been 10.
Oh, God.
Right? Seriously.
Well, now they're saying parents who barrack during junior sport are being told to be quiet in a state government bid to stamp out bad spectator behaviour. So this is the WA Department of Local Government, Sport and Cultural Industries, their True Sport campaign that promotes fun, fair and safe environments.
Okay.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, quite right.
How ridiculous that we need the state government to enforce good behaviour in front of our kids. Yeah. Like, have a hard look at yourself. That is humiliating.
Yes, it is. I agree with
you. It's humiliating that the government have to put this program in place.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah. It's that really bad behaviour. You know what's even worse? Is I've been at a junior netball game and it was the people having a crack at their own coach because it was one of the other parents.
Yes.
Their kid's getting a game ahead of their kid. You know what I mean?
People who are volunteering their time often.
Yeah. It's not always the opposition, though.
No. And the umpires who are often only a couple of years older than the kids.
Pay
who
just
are
a
playing.
Few bucks.
Yeah. And like, why not just have zero tolerance on that parent? The parent that's doing that, just whip them out of there and they're not welcome back at the games anymore and their kid can carpool with someone else. Well, I feel it's so disappointing because they're saying that they can do polite clapping instead. Now, my mum and dad came to all my netball games. Yeah. I was very lucky and I loved that mum and dad yelled stuff from the sidelines. Yeah. They weren't abusive, but they were actively participating in my game. And like Dad used to call me Kimber Bumba Bimba.
Yeah.
Didn't have a lot of time in the game. So he would just, every time I played netball and went up for the ball, he'd yell, "Up, Bumba!" Just, to me, it felt like I had support. Yeah.
You'd get arrested for saying that now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like why can't, my parents should be able to do that. And they're fond memories for me. And I think it's disgraceful that parents can't get their act together enough that we need to have this in place.
I agree. And we get stuck into our politicians and our governments a lot and for good reason, you know. But they should not have to be dipping their toes into this. Governments should not have to legislate to stop parents misbehaving at its sport. I mean, look, the way we've gone with sport in this country anyway is crazy.
Everything's
it's a couple
super
of people running around a park kicking a ball.
Yeah.
Right? And it's taken to such a serious level, it's ridiculous.
Don't you think a lot of this is born out of failed sports people who are trying to live their life vicariously through their children? Because that can bring the frustration. But my mum used to come to every one of my sporting games.
Yeah.
I remember once she used to go, "Kill him, kill him." I said, "Mum, it's 100 metres. It's not a contact sport." We're trying to run a race.
Yeah, Yeah, I've never. This is absurd. Honestly, if you're one of those parents, just go and have a coffee and go somewhere else. Yeah,
and do you, I mean, it must be. It's misplaced anger, right? You can't really. No one could really be that angry about a 10-year-old soccer game.
They are.
They're so
passionate. Why is everyone so angry?
Maybe they're really angry because some bloke keeps yelling out "Bumba Bimba."
Yeah, that's a worry, isn't it? A Bumba.
It's actually the command they give to elephants in the circus when they step up onto that stand.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't find that out until I was in my 20s.
Oh, that's horrible.
Cheers, Dad.
Yeah, you're building Bumba. A gate with this guy tomorrow?
Up, Bumba.
Hey, be careful. Be careful where you say that too.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Thanks to our friends at the RAC who are just saying two words, look up.
Yeah, it's really important to look up. Distracted drivers, we're dangerous when we're in that position, aren't we? All of us are.
Yeah.
And you don't own the road.
No.
You've got to share it with others.
Look up, beautiful world.
Yeah.
Have a look at it.
Especially on a day like this, but I can't believe how many people I see turning a corner with one hand on the wheel and one trying to look at something on their phone. I don't know if they're trying to answer a text message or whatever.
Yes, no good.
Yeah, the message is simple.
Thanks, RAC. Look up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah. Another day brings fun news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Well, Black Wednesday it may be, but that can only mean that tomorrow must be brightening into a new dawn.
Oh.
Because, of course, tomorrow being the 14th of February.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is Valentine's Day.
Romance.
Hey, romance or not, whatever, you know. Yeah, whatever turns you
Hallmark
on.
Hallmark cards.
Yeah, or a day for somebody to get even more lonely and reminded.
Yeah, that's so we wish you want to make such a big deal of it. But of course, some people do very much want their children particularly to be happy. Everyone does. They want their children to be happy. And there's one mother who is desperately trying to get her son a date. Isn't that cool?
Beautiful.
Right. So this is Towson University in Maryland in the US.
Sure.
I've been to Maryland, actually. It's quite cool. And she's been, police are looking for her, university police are looking for her.
Right.
Because there's a mother that's walking around campus, going into libraries and whatnot with a cell phone. Showing a photo of her son to girls that she thinks would be a good match.
Doing the cell.
Oh, mum.
Yeah. No. So mum is walking around. And she hasn't committed a crime per se.
No, she hasn't.
The police are saying they're not really like, you know, she's making people uncomfortable.
Yeah, and she's probably been reported by her own son. Her son is probably like, find my mother, this is humiliating.
You know, she's been reported by hundreds of librarians. Shh. Stop it.
How awful.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think, if a woman came to me and said, date my son, I'd think that's an automatic, I'm not dating him.
Really?
Because any mother that's that involved in her son's life is too close.
You might be close for everything.
You're too close.
Yep.
You know what you're signing up for life when you get that kind of mum.
And you know, so she's obviously looking for a studious young woman. If she's going to, it's like, she's not going into the uni bar.
Yeah.
You know, which is where my mum would go looking for my prospective partner.
Do you straight to the tab.
Studying terminology?
Yeah. So, mum, go away.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And just any excuse to play that bit of that Queen song.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Love it.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
It is Valentine's Day. Are you guys doing anything for Valentine's? Claire, have you got plans?
I hadn't made any plans, but Laurie did wear this sarong on Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah.
But she sort of half wore this sarong. I'll be in big trouble if she's listening. She probably won't not up. And I'm thinking maybe I could wear the sarong.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, like sexy Sunday, make it into sexy Thursday.
Okay.
Is Thursday? Wrong with
sweet.
The sarong?
Yeah. What about you, Maddie?
Well, since I became the proud parent of a puppy, you know, we're exhausted, and I did have one of those first most unromantic conversations where I went, look, is there anything I can do that would help?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like
that's
in terms
nice.
Of a gift, is there something I can do that will help you?
Yeah.
Which
that's
unromantic,
sweet.
But it's practical.
That's sweet. Yeah. Because I, like, James and I sort of went, let's not do Valentine's Day because, I don't know, it's a bit of a cook up. Who cares, sure. Right? You know what day. I mean? Yeah, yeah, like everyone. Yeah, we're all in love on the same day. Okay, sure. We get it.
Yep.
So we don't normally bother. And our anniversary is in March. So we're kind of like, let's not worry about Valentine's. We'll just focus on the anniversary later. And we've both been fine with that. Except yesterday he said to me, so are we going to do something for Valentine's Day? And I went, well, I don't know. I mean, he goes, because we don't have to do anything big. I just thought maybe we could spend the day together and I thought I'd cook for you. And he was suggesting all these really lovely things. And I was like, that's really lovely.
Mm.
And I went, yeah, I think I can do that. And then I went, oh, hang on. Oh, no, Dad's coming around to build a gate with me on Thursday.
Happy Valentine.
Good on you, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
That's what we're doing. So I don't know whether to cancel the gate building with my dad.
Yeah.
To do something romantic with my partner.
The first really important man in your life.
Yeah, like obviously I never even cared that it was Valentine's Day. I've just gone, hey, Dad, let's build a gate. Let's do this, buddy.
I've just got a beautiful image of you and James looking across a table, a candle-lit lunch, and all of a sudden cut to Brian going, bloody hell, James, this meal's nice.
Or just the drilling of the... Yeah.
Or just James shutting the gate.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey, guys, something is finally happening at the old Subi Market site.
Yay!
Ah,
yes.
Yay! We did speak with the Mayor, Penny Taylor, for the city of Subiaco yesterday, and the council met last night, and it's all been approved. Something is happening on the site.
Yes, subject to the Metro West Joint Development Assessment.
Oh, there's always a catch.
Sorry, just... Yeah.
It's a pretty busy corner,
isn't it?
But, you know,
green light everything.
Hey, look.
So this is the corner of Rockaby and Roberts, right?
Yeah.
And for about a decade, it's just been sitting there with spiders and cockroaches inside.
Been sitting there empty for a very long time. And this is a proposed $235 million redevelopment.
Okay. What exciting things are they going to do?
Well, they're going to put in three separate buildings.
Yeah.
That's going to be a 24-story block of mostly apartments.
Brilliant.
Sure.
With 516 car spaces and 240 units.
Oh, that will bring the international travellers.
So,
cynic over there.
And, you know, maybe they'll put in a couple of shops or something.
Oh, I bet they will.
There'll be
a sombrero somewhere.
Oh, yeah. There's not enough Mexican in this town. We just turn it into Mount Lawley.
There's a sombrero over the road. There'll be something else.
There'll be something there at the train station. Yeah.
But it's just great that something's happening, you know. I feel like we have these spaces. I don't know if we just want to keep them listed as heritage nothings, doing nothing. But it's just a great piece of space there that could be better used.
Yes.
Let's be honest, since the footy finished at Subi has been struggling, but it was struggling before that. And, you know, a lot of people went to get free parking down at Claremont Quarter and the like from that sort of end of town.
Wait, there's free parking at Claremont Quarter?
You know,
I'm going to Claremont Quarter.
3 hours or whatever it is. So Subi had to do something and they started to do that.
Absolutely.
They've beautified Rockaby Road a bit lately.
Yes. So, and Kimber, you mentioned to Penny yesterday that, you know, that we all walk through the streets of Subi and we see the shops that are empty.
Yeah.
And I noticed that Subiaco hotel owner is also saying, you know, come on, we got to get this vibe happening again.
Yeah, and Subi used to have a great vibe and we're ready to bring it back. So I think that's really cool that they're putting something in.
Well, the other thing that's happening is they're talking about the development of Subiaco Oval, which is going to be an open space, which is brilliant because you get in there and, you know, people who remember Subi Oval and the footy history, over 100 years of footy there, can reminisce and have a kick on the ground because it's open all the time.
Open space?
Yeah, it's going to be an open space. But around
let's put some shops there.
Well, there'll be some shops and there'll be a sombrero for you. Well, in between, you know, quarters, you can go.
I hate open space.
A Zimbrero.
Yeah.
But you can walk in and muck around on the ground and there'll be various things around it. And right next door is the new school.
Yes.
And this new school, this new college or new high school on Kitchener Park, which is, if you drive up Roberts Road, you can see how far the development's come already.
Mm.
But they're thinking of naming it after former Prime Minister Bob Hawke.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. And I really hope that they stay bipartisan on this sort of thing. I know Hawke's a big Labor man.
Yeah.
But he was a Prime Minister. He went to Perth Modern, I think.
He was a student here.
And a Rhodes Scholar and all that stuff. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Is it just going to be called Bob Hawke School?
Hawkeys.
School of Hawks.
Yeah. Have a listen to Bobby's Best.
I tell you what, any boss who sacks anyone for not turning up today is a bum.
So it won't be Bum High School, but RJ Hawke or whatever you want to call it, and the kids on Initiation Day will have to scull a beer. And everyone will cheer. Oh, no, that's Bob at the cricket. Sorry.
It is coming together quickly, though. You're right. I drove past it for the first time last week and went, well, I haven't seen it for a while and went, wow, they've done a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific idea.
Yeah,
forget that, you know, politics. He was a very smart man.
I don't know if the Libs are that happy.
No, of course not.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Think quick. Win cash. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
As a kid, we called it 2J. Let's go to 2J. Liz is there. Morning, Liz. How are you?
Hi, I'm I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're great, Liz. Welcome to the pressure test. We're going to give you the category and the time limit, and you just need to provide those correct answers. For each one, we'll give you $10, but if you get the lot, you'll win $250.
Awesome.
Okay, Liz, let's do this. We're going to put 15 seconds on the clock for you.
Done.
And your time will start once I've given you the category. Liz, we need you to list 5 songs by Michael Bolton. Go.
Michael Bolton. Oh, God. Okay. When a man loves a woman, how am I supposed to live without you? Said I loved you, but I lied. Go the distance to love somebody. I love so beautiful. Now.
Hey, Liz.
That's quite a list.
How much are you splitting with Google? You get the 100. Google gets the 150.
Thank God for the NBN speed, eh?
God, that's better speed than we've got anywhere in Australia.
That is incredible speed.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, it did help a little bit.
All right. Well, was that 5 songs?
Yeah, it was about 25.
Yeah.
No, I think it was his whole back catalogue. Yeah. Michael's coming on the show later, Liz. He's going to be impressed with that. Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
To catch Elton John on his Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour, play this.
I'm still standing.
I'm still standing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. On Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
Well, let's be honest, he's not going to do one of those Fonzies where he goes away and comes back and goes away and comes back this time.
No.
It's your last chance ever to see the legendary Sir Elton John right here in our hometown of Perth.
Oh, we're giving away tickets in the very front row of his Farewell tour right now. We're giving them away for the next 2 weeks. And this morning we've got tickets in row 8 to go.
Okay, let's go to Kingsley. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, you are our first player. I hope you can get through all 5, but we're ready to kick it off. Okay, here we go. Elton John's 1974 hit was titled Benny and the What?
Jets.
Correct.
Nice one. Okay, you're still in there, Teresa. Question number 2. What is Elton John's real first name?
Ooh. I know it's got Hercules in it.
Oh.
We need an answer, Teresa.
Answer.
Oh, too late, I'm afraid.
Oh. Sorry.
Yes, Teresa. Let's go to Caroline in Willerton.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Caroline. What is Elton John's real first name, Caroline?
Reginald.
Hey, correct. Nice one.
Well done. Congratulations. Let's move on. Caroline, the next question. What Elton John song features the lyrics, I think it's going to be a long, long time?
Rocket Man.
Correct.
Nice one. Okay, Caroline, question 4. Whose funeral did Elton John famously perform Candle in the Wind at?
Princess Diana.
Question 5.
If you get this one, you're taking the tickets.
Okay, what Aussie song inspired Elton John to write Crocodile Rock?
Oh, I really, really don't think I know that one.
An Aussie song.
Have a stab.
Aussie song. Good, need an answer.
I'm trying to figure the year already. Did it.
Oh, sorry, Caroline.
Brad. You could be Stephen Bradbury here, Brad in Mandurah.
Brad Bradbury.
What Aussie song inspired Elton John to write Crocodile Rock?
Oh, gee, that's a hard one.
Mm, it is.
Crocodile Rock, Aussie song.
Need an answer.
Oh, sorry, Brad. Getting a bit late there, mate.
Sorry, bud.
Charmaine in Jandakot. What Aussie song inspired Elton John to write Crocodile Rock?
Eagle Rock.
Was it Eagle Rock by Daddy
Eagle
Cool?
Rock.
Eagle Rock. Definitely Eagle Rock. Did you say Eagle Rock?
Oh, it is!
Hey! Ross Wilson.
Charmaine.
Ross Wilson and the team from Daddy Cool way back in the early 70s.
Oh, this is a heartbreaker, this competition, Charmaine, but not for Charmaine.
The last woman standing. Yeah. You have scored tickets in row 8 to see Elton John.
Woohoo! That's so fantastic. Here's the reason I bought my piano.
Oh,
really?
There you go.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Can you play it, or is it just sitting there with laundry on it?
Oh, no, I've been playing for 12, 13 years.
Very good.
Now, but slow and steady.
Oh, good on you. It's a great thing to do. Hey, have a wonderful time, Charmaine. Congratulations.
I will. Thank you so much. That's fantastic.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
The moment you've been waiting for all morning.
Sort of.
It's Captain Paul's Joke of the Day.
Well, I'll do Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, he's not feeling the
No, he's not.
Good luck,
he's
Matt.
Not.
Good luck.
Okay, here we go.
Yep.
Guys, a child who is refusing to sleep has been taken into custody.
Mm.
He's being charged with resisting arrest.
Oh, dear. Actually, you're keeping the standard.
I really am. Yeah, yeah, no, like don't that. Worry. They're chosen on for a reason.
RAC knows Maps Music or Messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.